like T-ball pretty soon.
Hutchin, a ground ball to third, breaking for the plate, the throw, and they got him. No! He called him safe! He called him safe! Unbelievable!
That is remarkable.
That is unbelievable! The throw beat him by a mile!
Live from the CG Technology Studio.
Did he get him? Oh, he took him. I thought he missed him.
He did miss him.
In the entertainment capital of the world.
It isn't. The runner goes halfway. Oh. Somebody thought it was on. His tourist had to scoop it and doesn't get it. And Ty Wigginton, he bumped him and he's gone.
It's the T.C. Martin Show.
And Wigginton is furious.
Diagnosis.
The 3-2 pitch.
Prognosis.
Outside ball, four, call strike three.
Osmosis.
Call strike three. I didn't think that Marty Foster was going to ring it up, and he did.
It's the doctor, T.C. Martin.
No. Oh, my goodness gracious. No. 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 You got to be kidding me. You got to be kidding me.
The doctor is now in.
Get your money's worth.
A terrible Tuesday edition of the T.C. Martin Show. Glad to have you here. Fox Sports Radio 98.9 FM, 1340 AM. Follow us on Twitter at TCMartin21. And, of course, the website, TCMartinShow.com. Today on the program, yes, it's a terrible Tuesday, so we'll get to vent our frustrations. Terrible Tuesday takes. Always a fun portion of the show on Tuesdays, and a little bit later on we'll talk a little Major League Baseball, break down some of the early pennant races with Steve Sachs, the two-time Major League World Series champion, five-time All-Star, and of course close to Chris Chapman's heart because he actually went in the Baseball Hall of Fame for his role in The Simpsons.
Yes, that was one of my favorite Simpsons episodes ever because it incorporated two things I love the most: Homer Simpson and baseball. And of course, I just blanked on the word. The ringers for a softball team.
Oh, yeah.
Because the story was Mr. Burns had a bet with another nuclear power plant owner on the softball field, and Burns went out and got all these major leaguers to be ringers for his softball team. And one by one, they all started to have mysterious things happen to them, except for Daryl Strawberry, who I think for whatever reason, Mr. Burns didn't have an injury for Strawberry or whatever, and Homer had to pinch hit for Strawberry in the ninth inning. And rather than
you sure he wasn't doing lines in the dugout or anything?
No, but rather than getting the game-winning hit, Homer was beamed, and he collapsed on home plate, and that ended up being, with the bases loaded, so that ended up being the winning run. So,
what's Saxie doing that episode? Did he get a hit?
No.
Go
no,
deep?
No, he didn't get to
turn
play.
Turn two?
He didn't get to play in the softball game because something bad happened to him.
Oh.
So he was recruited for the softball team, but I don't remember if he got – I think it was Mike Socha who was pulled over because Mike Socha was in that episode, and Strawberry, of course, Griffey Jr., Ozzie Smith. I think Canseco was in the episode. I'd have to look up who else. Obviously, Saxie. But
you've got all this thing down. Look at you. You're crazy. You were a fiend for this, weren't you?
I loved it. Yeah. Yes. And I believe the other nuclear power plant owner's name was Aristotle.
Okay. So I remember last year, so they reunited and they put Homer Simpson, the Simpson, in the Baseball Hall of Fame, and they reunited all of those guys. So Saxie got a chance to go back to Cooperstown for this. And like he said on the program a couple different times, he said, yeah, I never thought that I would go in the Hall of Fame for being a cartoon character.
Yeah, Roger Clemens also in the episode, Don Mattingly. I remember Mattingly got benched because, you know, the old joke with the Yankees, and Steve Sachs could probably confirm or deny whether or not it's true or not, but you couldn't have, like, sideburns or beard.
True.
And
no facial hair.
You know, Mattingly had to shave his sideburns, and Burns didn't like it, so he comes in and he's got, like, the whole side of his head shaved, and Burns is yelling at him, I told you to shave those sideburns! And he benches Mattingly because he still had the hair that Mr. Burns didn't like, but Sachs in that episode, Wade Boggs also. And then they played the famous song, We're Playing Baseball, by Terry Cashman.
Of course.
However, they changed the lyrics to coincide with Homer Simpson playing softball.
You know, I didn't fully expect a 3.5-minute dissertation and recanting of the entire episode when I just, you know, mentioned that Sax was going to be on and you like it because of the Homer Simpson episode. And
yeah.
Then you've taken me through the entire episode, the series, everything else. All the side plots?
Yeah, well, he gives him a token job at the power plant.
Stop already!
You know,
enough already!
It's fantastic.
You're watching the episode right now, aren't you?
Oh, Steve Sachs. Steve Sachs got arrested for every unsolved murder in New York City.
That's what it was.
That's what it was. That's a fantastic episode. It's one of the best ever. And it belongs in the Baseball Hall of Fame.
Oh, yeah.
It absolutely does.
It's right up there with Nolan Ryan and no hitters, and it's right there.
Absolutely.
Exactly.
The
Babe.
Yeah. Jeez. The Babe, yeah, absolutely. Homer kind of resembled the Babe a little bit.
All right, so we'll talk to Sachse not about that today. Because I know we've talked to him about that before, so we'll avoid that today.
You know what you could ask him? You could ask him who were some of the players that Mr. Burns wanted to recruit for the
softball
team.
You know what? I'll leave that to you. Okay, you can ask him that question today. I'm not going anywhere near that. Okay, this guy's my friend.
It's like that old scene in Major League where they're in the boardroom going through the players that she wants to invite to spring training, and the one guy says, "This guy's dead." And the guy says, "Well," she says, "well, then cross him off the list." So Burns goes to his assistant. He says, "Oh, I want Nap LaJoy and Mordecai Three Finger Brown and Honus Wagner." And Smithers says, "Those guys are all dead." He wants all guys from like the 1910s.
Mordecai Brown. Beautiful.
Hey, we managed to get a Homer Simpson and a Mordecai Three Finger Brown reference in one episode.
Outstanding. One show. Just bring in Bingo Long's Traveling All Stars and Motor Kings. God. Do that.
You know what? I loved when I was doing the This Day in Sports, and I'd go through and I'd come across like all the old baseball stats from like the early 1900s and the names of some of these players. Like there must have been like 15 guys named Frenchie.
Oh, yeah. They all had nicknames back
then. They all did, yeah. Mordecai Three Finger Brown. You know, he really had three fingers.
Who was the pitcher? I used to talk about him all the time. He had six fingers, the reliever, a couple of years ago.
Not Cap Anson, was it?
No. This was a prominent reliever who's been in the league for almost a dozen years. He's got six fingers. I call him Six Fingers.
I can't remember who that was.
Oh, man. I don't know why I brought it up now, because now it's going to bother me.
Now I got to look it up.
All right. It's a great segue for a terrible Tuesday.
It's Terrible Tuesday.
That's terrible.
Things gone wrong in the sporting world.
That's a terrible idea.
I want to know what the hell he's smoking.
Something stinks in here.
That's terrible.
It's Terrible Tuesday. Things gone wrong in the sporting world.
We are going to start with the U.S. Open. Embarrassing in so many factors over the weekend. When open officials realized that the course was so tough after the first three rounds, they wanted to make pin placement adjustments, make it much more easier for the golfers on Sunday, and then they watered down the greens prior to Sunday's fourth and final round. Saturday's round, that round three, was so frustrating that golfers were complaining, including Zach Johnson, who said they have lost the course in an interview after his round completed on Saturday. So how about some of these stats for you? These notes from the U.S. Open, one of the treasured tournaments each and every year. I understand you want to make the course tough. I get that. Tiger Woods, 10 over par, did not make the cut. Didn't even get a chance to play on Saturday and Sunday. Phil Mickelson, his score is ridiculous too. He was so bad, he could hardly wait to get off the course. And you probably saw the highlights where he took a two-stroke penalty, and he was happy to take a two-stroke penalty for hitting the ball while it was still rolling down the hill because he didn't want to run down the hill and go chase the shot. So he said, you know what? I don't care. I'd rather take the two-stroke penalty, get this thing over with. So there you have it. That was a scene out of what we do in miniature golf. What we do on the regular golf course sometimes when we say, oh, okay, it's rolling down, fine, I'm going to stop, I'm going to tap. I mean, you've done that, right? We've all done that before on the green.
I've done it playing mini golf. I've never done that playing an actual real game of golf.
Well, you know, you're on a golf course and you do it and you have a four-foot putt and you hit it like six or seven and they know you're running the other side and then you just keep going because you want to get off the green. It doesn't matter. You're not in a tournament or anything like that.
Yeah.
So it's your typical weekend golf.
Well, what I don't understand is why he wasn't disqualified for that.
Okay, so that's my point here. Is that really that big of a deal? If the guy, there's a two-stroke penalty that's put in play here for that. So he did it. Take the two-stroke penalty. Why is he getting victimized here by all these people? And then Andy North, with his comments afterwards, saying, oh, Phil Mickelson, that was disrespecting the game. You're a disgrace. And here's what got me with Andy North. As he said, kids look up to Phil Mickelson. He's tarnishing his image. Really? See, I don't take it that way. So people make mistakes all the time. Why do you want to vilify a guy for doing what we've all done on a golf course before? It's his score that he's affecting. Nobody else's. He's not tearing up the course. So what's the big deal?
Well, it's against the rules. That's the big deal. And, you know,
it's not against the rules. It's a two-stroke penalty. No different than if you shank it in the water. You got to take a penalty.
I stand to reason that...
You pick up your ball, it's a penalty. You don't get disqualified.
My belief is that if Phil Mickelson was not Phil Mickelson and it was like some guy who was way down on the leaderboard...
Phil was way down on the leaderboard.
But that's my point. My point is it's Phil Mickelson. So they're not going to disqualify Phil Mickelson. But if it was someone else who we had never heard of, I think they do disqualify him.
I don't think you can disqualify someone for that.
Well, I mean, the two-stroke penalty aside, it was dumb, and it was one of those things where I'm not going to go as far as Andy North. I mean, look, Phil's done enough stuff to tarnish his legacy on his own. That doesn't really, to me, do it either, but...
But isn't it funny? I mean, it's a funny story. That's why we're talking about it today.
Well, I think
it's not life-shattering. It didn't affect his score in any way, or, you know, purse money.
Well, I think part of the problem is these golfers are very snooty. The rules are snooty. And some of these guys, look, you know what? They take it way too serious. And Andy North, apparently one of those guys. But the bottom line is Phil was terrible. I had a real issue with them changing up the course on Sunday because guys complained about it. Look, we talked about it a little bit yesterday. I like watching these guys struggle. I like watching them look like mortals. To me, I don't care what the winner shoots. I'm not one of those people who says, oh, he has to shoot 5 under in order for it to be a good course and good tournament. I don't care about that.
Tommy Fleetwood goes for the record. He's trying to get a 62. He misses a 4-footer. So he gets a 63. So he ties the open record. Had 8 birdies on Sunday, none on Saturday. Was it because the pin placements were more generous and better? They watered down the greens? Probably so, but I agree with you. If you're going to say, hey, we're making this course tough, and we're doing that for 3 rounds and do it for the 4th round, and as it all turned out, you still had the winner of the event, Brooks Koepka, going 1 over par. So, it's crazy what they did. To me, it's a U.S. Open that it's going to go down in history as one of the most controversial, not just for Phil Mickelson, but the way they approached, you know, this course and what they did with the pin placements and all that. So I was rather disappointed that when they said that he tied the U.S. Open record, that they did not mention that he tied Roy McIlroy. Because I think he tied Roy McIlroy. Because that's exactly what Jim Nance and the crew told me when I watched Tin Cup. You know Tin Cup, Roy McIlroy? You're laughing.
Here we go with Tin Cup again.
It's Tin Cup.
Oh, my gosh.
There you go. But Roy McIlroy, I believe he tied the record. So why didn't... And it was Jim Nance doing the play-by-play here Sunday, right? Why didn't they mention...
No, it wasn't Jim.
You're
Nance.
Right. It was Fox, which makes me sick. It was Joe Buck.
Yeah, it was Joe Buck.
Yeah, so there you go. But how about Roy McIlroy?
Yeah, fantastic stuff.
You know, we got to throw the TV in.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, I would have preferred you thrown Al Cerviak in there instead of Roy McIlroy.
Hey, let's dance. There you go. All you got to do is play some Journey now, and we'll be fine.
Yeah.
There you go. All right. Major League Baseball. Oh, my goodness. I'm so infuriated with what I watched again on Saturday. So Tampa Bay manager Kevin Cash is following in the footsteps of Joe Maddon and maybe even a little Tony La Russa, but he's outthinking himself again. It happened on Saturday when Cash started Ryan Stanek. He's a reliever. He's a setup guy. We're going to start him against the Yankees. Now, you know how I feel about this.
You hate it.
I hate it. It makes me sick. So how long did Stanek last in the game?
2 innings.
An inning and 2/3.
Close.
All right, yeah. He hands the ball off to, guess what? Another reliever, Ryan Yarbrough. Yarbrough comes in, goes 3 2/3, 4 runs, 6 hits, 3 walks, Oh, and you know what happened. The Yankees beat the Rays 4-1 in this game. This doesn't work. It is stupid. He's just trying to be innovative here. Remember when he did it with Sergio Romo? He started Sergio Romo to get him in the record books. Started on back-to-back days on a Saturday and Sunday a few weeks ago. Part of our terrible Tuesday. This thing is a joke. And the vernacular that these managers, specifically Cash, try to come up with. They ask him, why are you doing this? Well, let's see. Because I want to start the game off with a high strikeout guy to pitch at the top of the order. And these guys in the media will go, oh, okay, it makes no sense. That makes sense. It makes zero sense whatsoever. Isn't the object to use your bullpen the least amount as possible? That's what you want to do. You want to get your starters and go as long as possible. So what happens when they start these two ham and eggers? Now, two of your guys are already done. You can't use your closer. He's done. I mean, it's ridiculous.
Yeah, I don't get it. And here's the thing. If it ever does become a trend, like where more managers start utilizing it, I almost wonder if the players' union will step in and say, look, this is ridiculous. Because think about this. If you're a starting pitcher, all of a sudden, your job becomes diminished, which means your salary is going to go down when you start coming up for free agency. So if I'm a starting pitcher on Tampa and my manager continues to do this, I'm going to my general manager and saying, hey, look, like if I'm Chris Archer, I'm saying, hey, you trade me or you put an end to this nonsense because this is going to hurt my value as a free agent down the road.
And the starters are going to get less starts because you're taking away one of the starts of somebody, right?
Yeah, incentives may not be met, right? You're taking away an opportunity for guys to get wins. It's pretty stupid.
All right, more baseball. I don't know if you heard about this, my friend, but this is a doozy. Milwaukee Brewers pitcher Adrian Hauser. He just got called up over the weekend to come to the bigs. Came out of Colorado Springs in AAA. So he comes into the ball game on Sunday against the Phillies in the eighth inning. He's getting ready. Takes the mound. Getting ready to throw his first pitch. And what happens?
He got hurt?
No, he didn't get hurt. He decided to walk off to the back of the mound. Things weren't looking good, weren't looking pretty, and all of a sudden, he bends over and vomits behind the mound. That's right. Do we have a vomit sound effect? I don't know if I
don't have one.
Yeah. That would probably gross a lot of people out. Oh, yes. This was laughable. So it gets a little bit better. So they regroup. Craig Counsell comes out. I guess, am I going to get charged for a mound visit? I guess I am here. Okay, kid, let's try it again. So here he goes back out there. Throws eight pitches. Lo and behold, what happens? Eight pitches later, he vomits again.
Oh, man.
That's right. Not once, but twice. And the best part about this is the grounds crew came out there at Miller Park. And remember the little flower bed watering can that you have? One of those things that that kind of looks like it has an arch on it. The grounds crew came out and was pouring water to get rid of the vomit. They're on the grass behind the mound, and they're raking them, trying to get rid of it. And seeing that kind of little flower pot, like, you water your plants with.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I'm talking about? It's crazy. So they said, that's enough. Luckily, I guess he finished the inning. And then afterwards, post-game press conference, they were asking Counsell, well, was a kid, did he have enough to eat? Was he sick? And Counsell just said, nah, had nothing to do with food. Kid was just nervous. But can you believe that? First start, you vomit not once, but twice.
That's not good.
Has that ever happened to you during a softball game or anything?
Not. You know what? When I there was a time when I did play football where it was the first game where I was returning kicks and punts, and we'll just say I have one of those stories too.
Yeah. All right, former Dallas Cowboy cheerleader has filed a lawsuit against the team saying she wasn't paid for all her work and her base pay wasn't fair. Cowboy cheerleaders, my friend, they're the standard, right?
You would think so, yeah.
How much do Cowboys cheerleaders get? According to this lady, what did she get?
Apparently less than the mascot.
Very true. You know where I'm going with this. Yeah. Exactly. Paid less than the mascot. So honestly, they get an hourly wage. What do you think the cheerleaders get for the Dallas Cowboys?
A couple hundred dollars a game.
You would think so, right?
Yeah.
I heard the number like $75 way back when the Raiders cheerleaders were getting upset. No, they get paid $8 an hour.
What?
Jerry Jones pays the Cowboy cheerleaders $8 an hour for whenever they go to a game, if they go to the grocery store and make a public appearance. They go to a high school. Yeah, they get $8 an hour.
That's not even minimum wage.
Compared to the mascot. Now, I didn't even know that the Cowboys had a mascot. Did you?
Yeah, it's that stupid Rowdy or whatever his name is.
His name is Rowdy. Yeah. No relation to Rowdy Roddy Piper.
No.
Or Rowdy Ronda Rousey.
Rowdy Roddy Piper would kick this guy's ass.
There's no question. Yeah. So what do you think Rowdy makes per hour? Now, we already know it's more, but legitimately, what should Rowdy make?
Well, he shouldn't make any more if that's what he's paying the cheerleaders, but my guess is Rowdy probably makes somewhere about $25 an hour.
He makes $25 an hour.
How about that? Wow.
And not only is Rowdy getting $25 an hour, he's on a yearly salary. Rowdy, not Piper, gets $65,000 a year.
What?
Yes, the mascot.
He's paying that moron $65,000 a year?
Yes.
To put on a stupid cowboy head and run around like a lunatic?
Yes. Makes his appearances. Probably goes to schools.
I want to see the cheerleaders. I don't want to see Rowdy. I don't care about that stupid thing.
Now, also, five former Houston Texan cheerleaders sued the team for not fully compensating them and said they were harassed, intimidated, had a hostile work environment, and lived in fear. Now, I don't know about all that, but
how about the Redskins that they were when they went that calendar shoot?
Right. There's another one.
NFL has a lot of problems with these cheerleaders.
There is. All right, my friend, World Cup news, here we go.
Oh, boy.
Just to let you know, there is no truth to the rumor that Nigerian fans wanted to bring live chickens into World Cup venues in Russia. So I'll let you know that. There was a rumor. It's not true.
Okay, well, that's good to know.
Reports say that happened or is going to happen, and Russia officials had to say, hey, for safety, it's not permitted to enter a stadium with a live animal. Makes perfect sense to me, right? And then we know there are some rituals and superstitions that African nations have, but bringing live chickens to games is not one of them. The head of the Nigerian Football Association said that this is ridiculous. We have never brought a live chicken into a stadium. I don't know who's making this up. We've had to answer these questions. It's ridiculous. The only thing we bring to our games are musical instruments and prayer. And we've seen the musical instruments come into the stadium,
Senegal
is great.
Had some today.
Yeah,
and
exactly.
With Poland.
Yes.
I don't believe the chicken story.
Yeah.
I don't think it's happening.
Why? It sounds like this is a Russian media thing.
That, you know what? That could be. There's a lot of goofy things that go on in Russian soccer. So definitely that is not out of the realm of possibility.
All right. I'll leave you with this, my friend. Did you hear the news that your favorite restaurant, one of your favorite restaurants, IHOP, is changing their name?
No, I had heard that.
They're running commercials now?
Yeah.
The new name for IHOP is IHOB.
Yeah, but I think that's just a publicity thing.
Is it a publicity thing? They're rolling out their new burger menu, so they're saying, instead of International House of Pancakes, we'll now be referred to as the International House of Burgers. Are you buying it? Do you like it? It makes me sick.
My guess is no burger chains are shaking in their boots with this. I mean, they could barely make pancakes. I'm not too worried about them making burgers. But, I did see that. I drove by an IHOP the other day, and
Is the sign out?
It still said IHOP.
See, there you go.
Yeah.
But on TV, they're pumping this,
well,
right?
They're all about it. But, yeah, I listen.
So it's a publicity stunt.
I'm sure it is. And I'm guessing their burgers are going to be terrible.
They say they're all Angus, all beef? Come on.
Well, that's so does McDonald's. They say they're 100% all beef, too.
Whoa.
You know what was funny? When I was in Canada, McDonald's was all the signs in Canada, when I was in Winnipeg, they advertised 100% Canadian beef.
Really?
So I don't know.
I'm not sure if I want to try that.
Why not? It's not like you're going to Russia and eating the beef, you know, or
am I going to test positive for clenbuterol?
I don't think in Canada. you may test positive for hockey, but I don't think you'll test positive for clenbuterol. I don't think they have, you know what, they may put a little Molson in there, but I don't think you're going to.
That's good.
Don't think you're going to test positive for clenbuterol.
I don't know, but don't mess with the International House of Pancakes. It's a longstanding brand publicity stunt. Give me a break. Come on.
No good.
Oh, jeez. All right. There's your terrible Tuesday.
Did you see this story about Juan Soto?
Oh, yeah. I know that he was played yesterday, but he wasn't on the roster. Is that what you're talking about? When the makeup game with the Yankees?
Yeah, and it's a continuation game. So he hit a home run yesterday.
Right.
Which technically, because it's a continuation of the May 15th game, it would be his first home run. However, he had hit multiple home runs before that.
Right.
So even though technically this was his first home run by date, because all the stats can count from May 15th.
Right. Correct.
Major League Baseball saying, no, that's not his first home run, because it came after he actually hit his first home run. And there were a couple of other players who've done this as well, Dave Parker and Barry Bonds, among them, who recorded hits in the continuation of games that were started prior to them making their debuts.
Right.
Pretty interesting and very rare thing that.
Very true. And then again, you count the victory back on May 15th. For example, the Nats had lost four in a row. You know what I'm saying? They won the game. Yeah. They didn't break the streak.
It doesn't count.
Because they lost to the Yankees in the regular game last night.
Yeah.
So they still got a 5-game losing streak. Think about that.
That's great.
So for the stats, it's different. But for the wins, losses,
yeah,
the streak?
Totally a goofy scenario. But it's pretty cool. I liked it.
I liked it too. There you go. All right. There's a terrible Tuesday takes for you right there. When we come back, Steve Sachs will join us. We talk a little MLB right here. TC Martin Show on Fox. Get on over to the CG Technology Sportsbooks. Betting made easy. So easy for you to do. That's right. Betting with your cell phone. That's what you have to do. That's how you bet 2018. As Jason Symbol, guys say all the time, right? Go on over, get signed up. Literally, it takes 5-6 minutes to get signed up for the CG Technology mobile app over at the Silverton, the M Resort, the Palms, the Venetian Palazzo, the Hard Rock, the Tropicana, and the Cosmopolitan of Las Vegas. It is so easy. 5-6 minutes to get signed up. You're ready to go. Bet where you watch the games from the comfort at your home, or if you're out and about anywhere in the great state of Nevada, take advantage of the CG Technology mobile app where betting is made so easy. All right. Another thing with our, you know, it's a terrible Tuesday, and another story to talk about here. I don't know how you feel about this, Magnum, but, you know, ESPN, the magazine, has their body issue. Seems like I talk about this every year. They're into their 10th season of the body issue.
Okay.
I'm going to tell you the people that are going to be featured, and you tell me how do you feel about seeing them naked. And that's really what it is, right? It's they're painted. Explain the body issue, how that works.
I mean, why are you putting this on me to explain it?
Well, because I know that you read the magazine all the time.
I don't, but generally what they do is they'll take, you know, some 10 or 12 really famous athletes,
right,
and they will have them show off their bodies full nude. However, they will, of course, cover up private areas. And, you know, maybe they'll have like a pose or something like David, like that famous statue David, or the Thinker, you know, those famous sculptures.
Right.
And, you know, they will put them in a magazine and let people take a look and see what some of these great athletes look like
but
when they're not wearing clothes.
Do we really want to see this? And again, this is ESPN doing what they do. I don't understand it. Never understood the ESPYs. Never understood this about why we want to see this, or people want to see this.
Because it's about crossing over to a different, I think, demographic.
Okay, well, we're going to put this to a test here.
And let me preface by saying that, honestly, I don't mind it.
Really?
Yeah, because I think...
Do you look at this?
I will not go out of my way to look at it, but if I happen to come across it and, you know, I have the opportunity to see, you know... Because it's an opportunity for you to appreciate how great of shape some of these athletes are.
Oh, I understand that. But when we go to the list here, and if you don't know some of these, you can look them up here and let me know, okay, we want to see this. But we're going to start with this, okay? Rookie running back for the Giants, Saquon Barkley.
No interest.
There you go. And my point exactly. And he's a rookie in the NFL. If he was selected by Tampa Bay or Jacksonville, does he make it? Probably not,
no.
Right? But it's the media hub in New York,
New York, yeah.
Okay. Figure skater Adam Rippon.
No interest.
There you go. So we're 0 for 2 with that. Seattle Storm teammates Breanna Stewart and Sue Bird.
I don't know what Breanna Stewart looks like. I know what Sue Bird looks like.
I'm going to tell you what Breanna Stewart looks like. She's about 6'6", very tall. Nice girl, but very plain. Not sex appeal at all. And again, that's where they're going with this. The first couple of years, they wanted to go the sex appeal route.
Okay,
I see. Now they're trying to go, oh, yeah, well, we don't want to be labeled as that. Because they know that they're going to be scrutinized. So now they go and just, they're picking like random people here.
Yeah, no interest in her.
Okay.
No. Sue Bird, I think slight interest.
Okay, so you got one slight interest and in four none, okay? Seattle Rainford, Megan Rapinoe.
Rapinoe. You know what's funny? When I was at the very first game for the LV Aces, Megan right. Rapinoe was there because I believe Megan Rapinoe is the girlfriend of Sue Bird.
That's why they're slated here together. Is that right? Okay.
I believe I so. I could be wrong, but I do know. And Megan Rapinoe made headlines because she also took a knee during the national anthem. She's a member of the U.S. Women's National Soccer Team.
That's right.
And she took a knee.
So how does she look?
I probably don't want to see her.
Okay. All right. How about this one right here? They also threw in a pair of Hall of Famers. Jerry Rice.
Now, Jerry Rice.
Now, Jerry's like 50 now.
Yeah, but Jerry Rice, to me, was always one of those athletes that was always in absolutely ridiculous shape.
Okay.
And I think as a guy who's aging, I think you can appreciate and I could appreciate just how great shape or what great shape Jerry Rice is in. I would be interested to see that.
Okay, so there's a little intrigue with Jerry Rice.
Because he's a little older, yes.
All right, okay. So now I'm going to give you this guy. And there's no rhyme or reason you can give me that we want to see this guy.
Okay. Are we talking like Hacksaw Jim Duggan?
Close.
Okay.
Greg Norman.
No. Absolutely not.
Okay, now why? No. How did Greg Norman make the list?
I don't know. And Greg Norman, you know, when he was playing, of course, you know, he was in, you know, good shape, but...
See, when they started this 10 years ago...
He wasn't like... You know, like... With Jerry Rice, there's that, oh, yeah, he was always in incredible shape when you watched him. If you ever watched his workout regimen, you know the guy was an absolute animal when he was out there working out. So there's an interest because you want to see, you know, does he still have the muscle tone? Does he still have the quads? You know, does he still have that muscle definition that he always had when he was playing? Whereas now, with Greg Norman... He wasn't known for that. He was a golfer.
You might as well give me Craig Stadler or Chichi Rodriguez.
I'd rather see Craig Stadler than Greg Norman.
Right. That's my point. And when this thing started 10 years ago, it was more of the sex appeal thing, unless they came under some scrutiny with that. And now, but none of these really make too much sense. Let me throw a couple others at you. All right. So pair of Olympians, track medalist, Tori Bowie.
Is that a boy or a girl? I don't know.
That's a girl.
Tori Bowie?
Yeah, I believe. Yeah. I remember seeing her watching a kick.
How do you spell Bowie? Is it Bowie?
Yeah.
Let's see.
T-O-R-I. T-O-R-I. Tori Bowie.
I will say this. She looks like she's in incredible shape.
Oh, yeah, yeah. She's like rock solid. I remember seeing her in the Olympics.
She was an Olympian in Beijing, I think. Okay. I don't know. Let's see.
Here's one you're going to have to look at, okay, because I'm not familiar with her. Cross-country skiing gold medalist Jessie Diggins.
Oh, you know what? I do remember her because I did watch the cross-country skiing in...
Yeah, I remember we had a discussion about that.
She's cute.
Okay, so that's fine.
Yeah, she's definitely cute.
Some intrigue there.
And you know what? Cross-country skiers, absolutely incredible shape. Yeah, she's actually cute. Yeah, I would like to see her.
Minnesota Timberwolves center Carl Anthony Towns.
No. Sorry. Not doing it for me.
And here you go. Here's one for you and Mark Seidel.
Oh,
Dallas Keuchel.
No. No.
How do you make the list?
Absolutely not. Absolutely not. So we've gone through that list of what, 10?
Yeah, I've got a couple more here.
Oh, there's more?
There's a couple more. Yasiel Puig.
No.
Softball player Lauren Chamberlain.
Let's see. I want to see what Lauren Chamberlain looks like.
She's okay. She's not a knockout. She looks okay.
She doesn't have to be.
No, no.
Played at Oklahoma.
Yeah.
Let's see. No.
Yeah.
Not doing it for me.
U.S. Women's National Team soccer player Crystal Dunn.
Well, we already got the national team player in Megan Rapinoe.
We did two of them. Crystal Dunn.
Let's see. Crystal Dunn.
We got a lot of no's here.
Oh, she's cute. Yeah.
Okay. All right.
And you know what? She's in... I'm looking at a picture here of her lifting a medicine ball.
Right.
She's in really good shape. I'd like to see that.
WWE performer Charlotte Flair.
Oh, that's Ric Flair's daughter.
Correct.
And she's very tall. I know that. And she's actually fairly attractive.
And we know why they went there with that. Yeah. I get that. And
yeah, because that was to help promote their of course, their 30 for 30 on Ric Flair as well.
Right, right. And yeah. And then we got an LA Galaxy forward. Zlatan.
Oh, Ibrahimovic.
Exactly.
You know what? That guy is unbelievable.
He's a stud, right?
He is a horse when he's out there on the field. So,
but I don't want to see him. I don't want to see him naked. I really don't want to see any of these guys naked.
Well, it's not a matter of seeing them naked. It's because
that's why they're doing it.
In all honesty, it's not any different than going to see like a Mr. Olympia. You know, it's not like you're seeing full frontal nudity. You know, they're always going to be positioned so that you're not seeing.
Yeah, but it's there's no total package there. There's no tank tops. There's no shorts here. This is designed like this to get the readers' attentions,
and that's
for us to talk about it.
That's
and we're
doing
fine.
It. And they did a good job because we are talking about it. But let's see. So there's what 10, 12? I'd say maybe four, maybe.
Yeah, right, right.
Because I'm kind of on the fence with Charlotte Flair.
I'd like to know if there's a criteria for any of this. Like a Hall of Fame, there should be a criteria.
Well, I know in the past they've had like Serena Williams, right? I think Serena Williams did it.
Yeah.
But I think they should be going for bigger names. I mean, like Sue Bird has been in the league for like a dozen years.
Right.
It's not like she's like 24 anymore. She's got to be in her early 30s.
Greg Norman's is 60. Yeah, in his 60s.
Nobody wants to see that.
Right. That's
now,
my point.
Now, maybe former Mrs. Greg Norman and Chris Everett. Because I think they were married for about a minute.
Crazy. Crazy.
I don't want to see very many of them.
There's your ESPN the Magazine body issue, which will be on newsstands. They still have newsstands? June the 29th.
They do in New York, yeah.
They do.
You know, I was in D.C. Yeah. And they had the guy in the subway selling the papers still. So.
No, it's out there.
Yeah, but not here.
June 29th. Go check it out.
I know you're going to be rushing.
No, you are. That's your assignment. You're going to bring into the studio so we can see this now.
No. And there's a few WNBA players I would not mind seeing in there, but those two, no, thank you.
But see, now this is it's part of the show. It's part of what we do. So now we're going to have to bring it in.
Yeah.
We'll get expensed. You know, we'll get paid for it.
We'll get reimbursed for it. Yeah,
of course we will. Yeah.
The $4.32 that it's going to cost us to buy it.
Probably.
Yeah.
So we can see the final product
but
here.
Because we don't have a subscription, it'll probably be $6 now.
So right now we're setting it at $4 that we're mildly interested in. So now I want to see the final.
When does it come out?
June 29th.
Okay, so about 2 weeks.
There you go, man. All right, so go to your newsstand that day, okay? I'm sure.
Actually, it's about 10 days. 10 days from today.
There you go.
Today's the 19th.
All right, we'll be back with a little bit more look at tonight's baseball as well, right here on Fox.
Fox Sports trending now.
I'm Chris Chapman, and this update brought to you by CG Technology Race and Sportsbooks. College World Series action. Bottom of the ninth inning, Florida on the verge of eliminating the Texas Longhorns. They lead this game by a score of 6-1. Earlier in the day, Mississippi State, they crush North Carolina with an 8-run inning. They win that one 12-2. Texas Tech and Arkansas, they will do battle after the Florida-Texas game a little later today. World Cup action, Senegal defeats Poland, Russia defeats Egypt, and Japan shocks Colombia. Get the CG Technology mobile apps. You can bet when you want, where you want. Sign up at the CG Sportsbooks at the M Resort, Silverton, Palms, Hot Rock, Tropicana, Venetian, Palazzo, and the Cosmopolitan of Las Vegas. CG Technology, betting made easy.
Your opportunity right now to go see the Las Vegas Aces Friday. This Friday is a take on the New York Liberty. We will take the first five callers at 876-1340. That's right. First five callers, 876-1340. Your chance to go to the Mandalay Bay and see the Las Vegas Aces in action against the New York Liberty. Call now. Afternoon. Glad to have you with us. Fox Sports Radio 98.9 FM 1340 AM. Don't forget, we got Las Vegas Aces tickets to give away all throughout the week. So don't forget, Friday night, the Aces in action against the New York Liberty, Mandalay Bay, tip off at 7 p.m. And then also on Sunday, they take on the defending champions, the Minnesota Lynx, that contest 3 p.m. on Sunday. And all games at Mandalay Bay. If you have not been out to go see the Aces just yet, go out and check it out. fun time, great time. Bring kids, bring the family. Always a good time and see some pretty good basketball as well. So get out there, Las Vegas Aces, and you're home for all the Aces games, as you know, across the hall, down the dial, ESPN 1100, 100.9 FM. So, all right, so we've got tickets we're giving away today. Congratulations to our winners today, and we'll give away some more coming up on Thursday as well. So hang tight, you're home right here on Fox Sports Radio and all of our stations here at the Las Vegas Sports Network. All right, Major League Baseball on tap today. And first of all, I want to apologize for Steve Sachs. He got hung up doing another interview with his role with the Major League Baseball Radio Network. He does a fantastic job as Sirius XM 89. So Steve can't join us today. Just not enough time to get him onto the show. But we will reschedule and have him on, if not later this week, next week. Look forward to talking to Sachs about that. All right, so today, some action. Seattle taking on the Yankees. The Yankees have been rolling, as we know. It's a two-team battle between the Yankees and the Red Sox right now in the AL East. And the Yanks have been something special, 47-22. The Red Sox, actually, two more victories at 49-24. So always good for baseball when the Yankees and the Red Sox are good. So Yankees will take on Seattle today. They're a $1.85 favorite. That one goes at 405. Today. Also, Baltimore taking on the Nats. Nats have been struggling. Been talking about that a little bit. That game goes at 4:05 today. And the Nats, they broke the streak, which we talked about with that kind of weird game that was thrown into the mix, the makeup game from May the 15th. They beat the Yankees yesterday afternoon, but went back to their losing ways and lost last night to the Yankees. But taking on a Baltimore team that struggled. Wow, they've lost, what, 9 of their last 10? So Washington, a $1.90 favorite in that one. St. Louis taking on Philadelphia. That game, 4:05. Philly, a $1.20 favorite on that one. Milwaukee takes on Pittsburgh. Brewers, been playing some good ball, battling with the Cubs right atop the NL Central. Those two teams, Pittsburgh, a $1.25 favorite in that one. Another 4 o'clock game, Atlanta, been on fire in the NL East, leading that division. That's right, they are 3.5 games better than the Nationals and the Phillies. Atlanta is at Toronto. The game, a pick'em in this one in Toronto at the Rogers Center. And a couple more 4 o'clock games. A lot of early games here getting ready to start. White Sox take on Cleveland. Clevenger going for Cleveland against Rodan for the White Sox. $2 favorite again for Cleveland. Cleveland coming off an easy victory where Bauer was really good again yesterday for the Tribe. So the Tribe continuing to get things together in the AL Central. Also, Reds taking on the Tigers. Battle of bums in that one. Dodgers-Cubs, they played an earlier game today. Dodgers won the makeup game that was rained out last night. Dodgers won 4-3, and the nightcap takes place at 5:05. Rich Hill going against Mike Montgomery in that one. So the Cubbies, a $1.35 favorite in that one. That first pitch is at 5:05. Boston takes on Minnesota. Chris Sale going to the Hill tonight. He's a $1.90 favorite on the road at Minnesota. Sale, that ERA of 2.75. Tampa Bay takes on Houston. Houston, Verlander going tonight. Been lights out. 9-2, 1.61 ERA, a 260 favorite for Verlander and the Stros. They are on fire. And Texas takes on Kansas City. Mets in Colorado. Do we even need to talk about that one? I think I'm going to go against your boy Vargas in the Mets today, Magnum. That's right. I'll lay the $1.60 with Colorado.
Well, they do suck, so.
Arizona taking on the Angels. Diamondbacks been on fire as well. Oakland, San Diego tonight. And Miami takes on San Francisco. Giants, a $1.65 favorite. So there you go. There's your rundown. A lot of Major League Baseball, a lot of early games as well today. All right, again, Steve Sachs apologizing. We will get with him later in the week or next week as well. And I'm kind of glad because we'd have to put up with Magnum's questions about Homer Simpson. So apologize for that. All right, tomorrow, NHL Awards. Looking forward to being out there at the Hard Rock for that. Have yourself a good one. Take care. If you miss any part of the show, you know where to go, tcmartinshow.com. Have yourself a good one. Enjoy the evening. What's that?